Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and answer this question, true or false. Everyone in the United States gets 12 weeks off when they have a baby. If you're a working parent or about to become one or an employer, my next guests have some advice for you. And if you thought the answer to that was true, probably some cold water to throw your way too. Dina Baxt is an attorney and co-president of the Family Workplace Rights Advocacy Group, A Better Balance. She's joined by Phoebe Taubman, also an attorney there, and they, along with Elizabeth Gedmark, are the authors of a new book, Babygate, How to Survive Pregnancy and Parenting in the Workplace. Phoebe, Dina, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So the answer to the question is false. Is there any national standard for parental leave?
There is. The Family Medical Leave Act does guarantee up to 12 weeks, but it is only available to certain people, and that's the key. It's restricted to employers of a certain size, employees who've worked a number of hours and been there a number of months. So there's a lot of caveats.
And I will say that that question is from one of your books, Pop Quizzes on Workplace Parenting Law. And so I thought we would let listeners take a shot at some of the other questions as we go along. That might be one way to pull out some of the information from your book. So, folks, if you want to play along or if you have your own questions, seriously, about your rights as a parent or your responsibilities as an employer, call us, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So we're inviting you to tell your stories of how the law has or hasn't protected you as a working parent and what you think is needed, and take a working parent's law quiz question while you're here, if you'd like. 212-433-WNYC. Who wants to tell a story or who wants to play? 212-433-9692. And what about in New York City? I understand A Better Balance, or your group ABB, was one of the groups behind our new sick leave law?
Yes. Today, we're thrilled to report under the new Earned Sick Time Act, which became law very recently, workers have a clear legal right to sick time. This law allows covered workers to take up to 40 hours of sick time in a year, either for themselves or to care for family members. Workers cannot be fired or punished for taking this time. And in businesses with five or more workers, sick time must be paid. So five paid sick days a year for workers in New York City, A Better Balance runs a free hotline, and we're receiving calls and encourage workers to call us with any questions they might have about their rights or issues that are happening on the job.
By the way, the title of the book, Babygate, the first thing I thought of before I looked at the book was that Babygate that I used to have that kept the baby from going from the safe room to the unsafe room. But you mean it like Watergate, don't you?
Well, we actually meant it in both ways, and in one sense, it's about the scandal of existing law in the United States and how far we are behind the rest of the world.
Scandal is a strong word.
Well, to us in the field, it feels pretty scandalous to think about the United States being one of only, you know, a couple, you can count them on your finger, countries around the world that doesn't guarantee paid maternity leave. But we also thought about the baby gate and the concept of, you know, the workplace having a gate up through which parents and babies are not welcome.
Yeah, I just want to add, I mean, it's scandalous when we hear repeatedly pregnant women pushed out of their job, pushed onto public assistance when they are about to have a baby because their employers won't accommodate them, let them have time off to recover from childbirth. That is scandalous to us. And I also wanted to add, in addition to the Earned Sick Time Act that was recently passed, right here in New York City, we enacted the New York City Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. And our hotline is also available for pregnant workers, expecting mothers, new mothers who have issues around being accommodated for pregnancy, childbirth, nursing in the workplace.
All right, listeners, you're being very shy right now. Maybe you're all still thinking about the Astorino teach-out debate. I don't know. But if you want to tell your stories of how pregnancy or parenting law did or didn't protect you in the workplace, you can call us right now. Or if you just want to take a quiz question, we've got four quiz questions pulled from the book written by our guests that's called Babygate, How to Survive Pregnancy and Parenting in the Workplace. Who wants to take a quiz question on pregnancy and parenting law, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. There is something called the Pregnancy Discrimination Act. So what does that protect people against?
The Pregnancy Discrimination Act has been around for over 35 years, and it basically defines discrimination based on sex to include discrimination based on pregnancy. So an employer can't fire someone for being pregnant, and that's been clear in the law for a long time. It also requires employers to treat pregnant employees basically no worse than other employees who are similar in their inability to work. And that piece has been less clear, and actually there's a case going before the Supreme Court this year on that exact point.
Really? What is that case going to revolve around? Give us a little preview.
It's called Young versus UPS, and it's around a woman who worked for UPS and requested minor changes to allow her to continue working through her pregnancy. And she was denied those changes, even though other employees who were able to the same extent she was to work, and so that they had their own limitations, they were allowed to continue working under other rules.
Are you ever required to tell an employer that you are pregnant?
There are no rules requiring you to tell an employer you're pregnant.
I had read 30 days before going on leave. Is that true?
Well, so if you are eligible for the Family Medical Leave Act, which is our federal law that covers this, then you have to give 30 days notice before you take the leave.
But not to just announce your pregnancy.
Are you ever required to tell a potential employer that you're pregnant on a job application?
You're really not required to tell them. I mean, I think there's some information in the book, Babygate, and we give advice around how to manage this delicately because obviously you don't want to start off a job on the wrong foot by not being honest, but you also want to protect your own interests to make sure that you get hired because too often we see folks being denied a job because they're pregnant.
Let's take a phone call. I think we have – do we have Robin in Belleville? Can I get Robin in Belleville right up here? Yes. Hi, Robin. You're on WNYC.
Oh, wow. Hi. I love the show.
Thanks.
So I'm on this breastfeeding support group called the Badass Breastfeeders of New Jersey, and I'm posing a question really for a mom that I saw had posted a problem about her pumping at work because she has, you know, she's just returned back to work. And even though the law, you know, covers her to be pumping at work and she's been taking as short breaks as possible and shortening her lunches, she's being requested to, you know, check in with her supervisor every time she needs to go in and out and so on. And I guess I was just curious if the guest had any suggestions or clarifications for this mom.
So just to be clear, she's not being told she can't take the pumping breaks. She just has to check in with her supervisor?
Right. You know, in other words, there's this feeling like, oh, you're taking too many breaks and it's not fair to the other employees. Although she's saying, you know, I'm still completing all my work on time. I've been just taking shorter lunches, you know, to accommodate these breaks.
Right.
And apparently there's a new device that allows you to be a little more discreet where she could stay at her desk and not, like, leave her desk and go to some other room.
Any advice for
that is not an acceptable solution.
For Robin's colleague?
Clearly, you know, there's a right to a reasonable time and place to pump breast milk. And it sounds like from the little that, you know, we've gathered here that she is being afforded that right. The thing that raises a red flag is whether there's any sex discrimination here. Are they requiring her to check in or holding her to higher standards than they are other workers who might need time off for breaks? So I think that, you know, we'd be happy to have her call our hotline and we can discuss it further.
Okay, Robin. True or false, this question from the Babygate quiz. A woman may be legally fired for carrying a water bottle to stay hydrated while pregnant.
Oh, my gosh. I would so hope that that is false. But by the nature of the show and this piece and all, I'm gonna have to say I'm afraid that's probably true.
It does seem to say true here. That's true? How could that be true?
Well, I think this is one of the areas where the law is changing, and we hope to change the answer in the near future. But for the moment, in many parts of the country, it is true because there have been court cases that basically say a woman who has an uneventful pregnancy and doesn't have any disabling conditions is not entitled to any accommodations in the workplace, even though others with disabilities or temporary limitations are. So that's where this comes up. I mean, this woman just needed to stay hydrated. It wasn't a, you know, diagnosable condition. can, and the court found that she wasn't entitled to carry that water bottle.
My guests are Dina Baxt and Phoebe Taubman, attorneys with the Family Workplace Rights Advocacy Group, A Better Balance, and co-authors of the new book, Babygate, How to Survive Pregnancy and Parenting in the Workplace. And Jeff in Fairlawn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My son-in-law and his wife are pregnant, and unfortunately they've been having some problems in the pregnancy. His employer is giving him all kinds of grief when he wants to take time off to go get an MRI and other things. Are you doing anything to support men as they have problems getting time off for taking care of babies, pregnant wives, et cetera?
Absolutely, and we believe, and it was part of our founding mission as an organization, that this issue shouldn't be just one for women, that this is an issue that impacts both men and women, fathers and mothers. And, you know, we have done reports and studied the impact that stigma has on fathers in the workplace in particular, where even if there's a written policy, often they feel they can't take advantage of it because there's so much expectations on their sex role as a breadwinner, as a father, that they have to be committed to the workplace. And so we, in this book, in Babygate, offer specific advice for fathers, and also through our hotline, we talk to a lot of men who are encountering these problems. So I absolutely hear you, and unfortunately, it's not uncommon what you're describing. And right. I personally think it'd be great if we had sort of a consciousness raising among men to get them together to change this.
Right, and there are existing legal protections that men should be aware of. And again, because we don't have time on this show, you know, we encourage you to call our hotline to talk through, you know, the legal issues. And if we could be helpful, we'd love to.
All right, so here's a true/false question from the book for you, Jeff, from the quiz. True or false, men can't sue for discrimination because of their families, because of their family status. True or false?
My guess is it's false, but I doubt very many men would ever do it.
They can sue. In fact, there is a concept under sex discrimination of sex role stereotypes. And so just as that applies to expectations about mothers that they should be at home, their expectations often of fathers, they should be at work and not at home. So when fathers sort of buck the stereotype and want to be more involved with child rearing, that's when they encounter these problems.
Tegan in Pearl River, you're on WNYC. Hello, Tegan.
Hi there. I wanted to share a little bit about my story, which is that I finally landed the full-time job of my dreams with a New York City-wide major nonprofit that everybody knows, and about 4 days later found out that I was pregnant. Now, having lost other pregnancies before, I, you know, number one, didn't want to tell everyone about being pregnant right away because I wanted to make sure that I kept the baby. The second one was, you know, I figured they would start to just not really, you know, they would start to discount my voice, basically, if they knew that I was kind of 1 foot out the door because I was going to be giving birth within the year. The other reason was that you had to be working there for at least 3 months before you could access any medical benefits. But I kept my mouth shut. As my you know, tummy started to show, I had to kind of hide it. And it was also very sad for me not to be able to tell all my new friends at work about how I was feeling and what was going on. But eventually, around like 5.5 months, I finally had to tell them. And they asked, you know, why did you keep it from us for so long? And I told them it's because I'd lost one of the tasks. Now, at that point, I started working with a human resources person with some really creative, awesome ideas, if I do say so myself, about ways that a breastfeeding new mother could probably still keep her job, and get, at least in the job that I had. You know, I wasn't doing, like, hard labor on a construction site or an assembly line in a factory. I was doing largely computer work, but teaching classes to children about 3 times a week.
So let me jump
now,
in because
our job with another person who wanted to do a part-time job, then I could have, you know, been able to continue to do the work that I'd already started.
Right, the job sharing solution.
Or if I could just have some flexibility with different types of flex hours.
So let me get a response just because our time is gonna run out. Tegan, stay there. But she's obviously I can just see the heads bobbing up and down, going, yeah, me too.
Yeah, we encounter a lot of, you know, pregnancy-related problems through our hotline. People call, and this is probably the number one call we get. One really exciting new development, as I mentioned earlier, is the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act, which doesn't have threshold requirements in terms of how long you're on the job. You really entitles to certain accommodations for pregnancy, for childbirth, for time off to recover, for breastfeeding. So in addition to the law, there are also proactive tools in our book, Babygate, to help you work with your employer to navigate a smooth transition back into the workplace. So, again, call us because we don't have time now, and we would be happy to help you.
And Tegan, from the Babygate quiz, true or false, you can be forced to pump breast milk in the bathroom stall.
I would really hope that that would be false.
And that would be false, right?
Yes. And forgive me for just, I wanted to clarify if Tegan was in New York. Because all of these laws, it's very dependent on where you are.
New York State.
Yes. Yeah, because I think one thing we'd like to highlight about the book is that in the second half, we go through each state's laws because it really does depend on where you live and where you work as to what laws you have at your disposal.
Are there different white-collar, blue-collar issues?
Yes. Some are similar and some are different. I would say the work-family conflict impacts workers across the economic spectrum, no doubt. But low-wage workers, particularly those in physically demanding jobs, rigid jobs with rigid work hours, inflexible work rules, are particularly hard hit. They're often one sick child away from getting fired, one child care emergency from losing a paycheck. So these are, this is the work-family conflict in its most extreme form, and we need really more support in order to help people because this is not just good for workers. This is good for our economy. You know, when women can stay off of public assistance and stay attached to the workforce, we all do better. Our economy does better. Families do better. So this is a no-brainer. So as a first step, educating and empowering workers to understand their rights is absolutely critical and is why we wrote Babygate. There is so much confusion and misinformation out there. I mean, if you do a Google search, you can get 10 different answers. So we can't advise everybody. And so we wrote this book to give people a resource to get started.
Last word, 15 seconds.
I would agree with Dina. You know, homework and preparation is key. If anybody is even just on the cusp of thinking about becoming a parent, you know, this work can sometimes feel like drudgery, but I think you'll benefit in the end from doing your homework up front.
Dina Baxt is an attorney and co-president of the Family Workplace Rights Advocacy Group of Better Balance. Phoebe Taubman is also an attorney there. And they are two of the three authors of Babygate, How to Survive Pregnancy and Parenting in the Workplace. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.